We have seen the Lord. Over the past few weeks, we've been exploring the ways in which the early church saw the Lord, encountered or experienced the reality of the risen Jesus. We began quite literally with the encounter of Thomas. And we move from there into other more figurative, perhaps, ways of understanding that phrase, ways which in some ways might be more true to our experience. Two followers of Jesus who encountered him as they walked away, giving up, and they didn't know who he was at first, didn't recognize who it was they were listening to. And then there were others who encountered Jesus in the radical grace and generosity and hospitality of the early church, which made Jesus known by making the love and welcome of God, the love and welcome of Jesus, a tangible reality, so real, so undeniably powerful that in it they saw him. And then last week we had Stephen, appointed to serve, appointed to help make sure that those in need had their needs met, and in the process argued so persuasively, so compellingly, and so persistently for the reality of the risen Jesus that he was killed for his efforts, though not before having a vision of the risen Lord in glory at God's right hand. Today we walk a little bit further along that same path. Today we have the story of some people who had encountered Jesus without ever even knowing it. Unlike those two on the Emmaus Road, these were people who'd never met Jesus, quite possibly never heard his name. And yet, we are told, were worshipping him. They had seen the Lord. They just hadn't realized it. Seeing the one true God in the one that they named an unknown God. The setting, of course, is Athens and the Areopagus. Now, Rome was the undoubted military and political heart of the empire, but Athens could definitely lay claim to being its intellectual core. It's been said that the Greek Empire, founded, of course, by Alexander the Great, had centuries later conquered Rome by being invaded by it. The Romans had won the war, but Greek thought and Greek culture and Greek ways spread through the empire. Latin was the language of law and society, but Greek had become the language of thought, of ideas. But the intellectuals in Athens, at the heart of, as it were, the brain of the empire, knew that there was more than they knew. There were unknown unknowns. They recognized that all they knew and all that they thought they knew of the gods was incomplete. There was still something else, the unknown. And this was what Paul then took as his starting point to tell them about the risen Lord. You, he said, you have already encountered the God that I am coming to tell you about. What you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. You have seen the Lord. Now, if we stopped there, this would be a really comfortable message. That those who worship in other ways, those who are spiritual but not religious, as is apparently the trend of the time, they, we might conclude, are worshipping the same God as us, but just don't know it. And Paul didn't condemn them. He had previously had a bit of a go at Jews in the synagogues for worshipping idols because they really ought to have known better. But Paul doesn't condemn these worshippers. He praises them, in fact, for their spirituality. We might see this as him saying, we're basically all worshipping the same God. You've seen the same Lord as I have. That, as I say, that would be a comfortable message. But Paul didn't stop there. He started there, and I think it's really important that he started there, but he didn't stop there. What you worship as unknown, he said, I am going to proclaim to you. We're not quite so comfortable with that bit. Proclaim bit. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the way that we are much more comfortable with the idea that others of other faiths and other spiritual pathways are seeking and even in a way finding the same God, but not quite so comfortable with proclaiming Jesus to them as the one that they have already partly found. And looking at Paul and how he does it. And I think that Paul in Athens actually points us to a way of making that statement, we have seen the Lord, which isn't so alien to us, isn't so threatening, isn't so contrary to our desire to be inclusive and understanding and respectful of those of other faiths and none. Mike Frost, Baptist minister in Sydney, says that when people find out that he's a minister, which quite often comes up apparently in conversation, the most common response he gets from people is, oh, I'm not religious. I'm sure we've all heard people say that when they discover that we're some of those strange ones who go to church. That's fine for you, but I'm not religious. What Mike Frost says he then does, at least most of the time, unless he's really tired and just wants them to leave him alone, is to answer with a question. He says, so do you mean you've never had any sort of spiritual experience? And then he listens. Because almost without fail, he says, they will tell a story. Maybe a story of ghosts, or of some other unknown, or of a premonition of a time when they knew something that they could not possibly have known. Or others might speak of their spiritual experience in the grandeur of creation, of unimaginable beauty, or of some inexplicable sense of the numinous, of their being something else. Or others, he says, will describe their spirituality in the terms, in the language of their values, of the things that they actually hold as being deeply important. Justice, or family, or environmentalism, or community, or progress, or creativity in music, in art. Mike Frost says that all he does at that point is listen to what they are telling him is their spirituality. Paul wandered around Athens, and we know that before he had this conversation, he had been looking around. He tells us that he'd been doing so. He had been studying the inscriptions on their altars. He had been hearing and reflecting on the words of their poets. He began with that listening. Proclamation, we have seen the Lord, I think begins in genuinely listening. to others. The failure to do that, I suspect, lies behind a lot of what makes us so uncomfortable with certain forms of evangelism. Evangelism which is so sure it has all of the answers that there is absolutely no need to listen to what other people think. Because all you actually need to do is tell them what they ought to think, with no interest in other points of view. Not Paul's approach. And let's face it, we don't know all of the answers. I certainly don't. I don't think we even know all of the questions. How could we know all of the answers? And Paul's listening and understanding leads him in to an affirmation of the spirituality of those who are speaking to him. I see how religious you are in every way, he declares. Mike Frost goes on that whatever expression of spirituality you find in another, you can take a positive lead out of it. Whatever spirituality you hear in another person, you can find echoes of in the Christian faith. A story of ghosts or of premonitions pointing to a sense that there is something more than just this physical world that we strive to understand. An experience of majesty or of the numinous pointing to the wonder of creation. A desire for justice, reflecting the yearning of God for all God's people to be treated fairly. A passion for science, reflecting the orderly nature of the God who created an orderly universe. I doubt that there is anything anyone can tell you that they value or feel or experience, unless maybe they're a complete psychopath, out of which you can't find a thread that lies in common with our story, with the Christian story, the Jesus story. For all are made in the image of God, all people created with an instinct for the divine. We listen without prejudice. We can genuinely value those things in others that point to that spirituality. So far, it's still quite comfortable. But then there is that third step, the bit we're not so good at. What Paul did next, to offer what he had to add to their story. Not to contradict it so much as to add to it. Paul identified in the philosophies and the spirituality of those he was talking to threads of thought and understanding that pointed to something beyond, that pointed to where they were still going, what they did not yet know. And for the Athenians, it was this shrine of worship to an unknown God. A recognition that there was more to God than they knew, that there was a power beyond what they had recognized. And he added to that their observation, the observation of their poets, that God was beyond all else. In God we live and move and have our being. We too are God's offspring. Paul took those descriptions, those insights that the people had of God, and he built on them. As if to say, the best and truest of your religious experience, the best and truest of your philosophy, that you know is pointing you towards something. And I think I don't have all the answers, but I think I might have the next step something to contribute to the next step. I think he said, I know something of that God, that unknown, that you have already recognized your systems are pointing you towards. That's what I would like to tell you about. I'd like to connect your story, your understanding of the cosmos and of the spiritual, I'd like to connect that with the story I know of the God of the Hebrew people, but most especially of the God made known in Jesus, the risen Jesus. And so might we. You have a passion for justice. The God of justice is the unknown God who has called you to that and empowered you in that. You have an energy to protect the created world, the environment. It's the creator of that world that is the unknown God that you are working alongside that I could maybe tell you a little more about. You value community or family or love. It's the God whose very nature is love that is the unknown God that those values reflect. The God who creates communities and places people into families. You find your spirituality in creativity, in art, in music, in invention. You are co-creating alongside the God who never stopped making something new. Or you have a sense of awe. A sense of the numinous. You've already understood that there is much more than you know. Let me share with you what I have seen, as you have just shared with me what you have. The Athenians had already seen the Lord. Paul named the unknown God for them, showed them how they could move on, showed them that the story he had to share built upon and contributed to their already deep instinct for the reality of God. I think that might actually be a model, a way of sharing with the world, with an often uninterested or reluctant world, but a world which has its values, its faiths, its spiritualities, a way of sharing with that world the news. We have seen the risen Lord. It's a way I can at least imagine doing, in a way that standing on a soapbox and shouting at people what they ought to believe has never really appealed to me. Genuinely listening to others, hearing, affirming the spirituality of whatever form that is reflected in the things they love, the things they value, the things they have experienced. And then connecting that somehow to the Jesus story. The first step I reckon many of us already love to do already. Whenever you hear that a group of people is welcoming, and that does actually get said about us here at Roseville Uniting Church, Whenever you hear that a group of people is welcoming, I reckon you can be sure that you have found a group of people who listen to you. I think that's what welcoming means in many ways. You felt listened to. And I think the second step is also one we're comfortable with. Finding spirituality and finding what is good in others. We may perhaps need to become a little bit more aware that that's what we're doing, more deliberate about listening for it. The hardest bit, surely, is the last one, connecting their story to ours. The bit where we perhaps need most practice if we are to genuinely share with the world the good news that has empowered us, changed us. Back before COVID, a long time ago now, many of us here started the Makes You Wonder course, which is actually all about what I've just been describing, about hearing the stories of others and learning to make connections between their story and ours. Beginning actually with simply knowing our own story a bit better, actually a lot better, in order to make those connections. Those who came along to Makes You Wonder, I think everyone who came along loved it. And then it didn't work on Zoom when COVID happened, and we stopped. And I think it's probably time for us to start it again. So if you only take one thing away from this morning, it would be this. When you see Makes You Wonder advertised sometime in the coming weeks or months, join it. Amen.